Thank you, Brother Dan. So very happy to be with you. To come to Chicago. You here in Chicago have no idea what it's like to come to Chicago. All the dear ones here, beloved and precious, each and every one. Had a very beautiful time last night with Art and Barbara Jesuit, and with Art and Donna Cook, and with Janine Farrell. Precious. I've been able to do this by the Lord's grace since 1952. I rejoice the more that I can be able so to do. That I have an opportunity to be with you, rejoice with you, and speak one with another the precious things that the Lord has brought forth unto us. I bring the Christian love and greetings of the dear ones from the Jackson class. And a special greeting and thank you from dear Ray Lumley. Of all the dear ones who have sent cards, who have sent all the greetings and all the things whereby to help him, he wants you to know he thanks you the more. And I think you're all familiar with the fact that he has dialysis 3 times a week on Tuesday, Thursdays, and on Saturday. 4 hours. And he's found it a precious and beautiful time to be able to sit there and read the reprints, the volumes, whatever indeed he can find of God's words. He rejoices in it the more. And my dear sister, Erin, and my brother-in-law, Wally, also send their special love, again, along with the Jackson class. The friends in Jackson on Thursday nights are studying in the Sunday, first volume. We're on the Day of Jehovah. The Day of Jehovah, the day we are living in right now. And all of us have been living in it since we were born. Yea, going back to the return of our Lord, that Day of Jehovah. It's brought forth in many ways. Scripturally, we won't read the scripture, but simply fact. Day of vengeance of our God. The great day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. The day of God. That great day of God Almighty. The great and dreadful day of the Lord. That desire of the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord cometh. The great day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord's wrath. All of these things describing the time we're in now. And if you will recall those words, that we are living, we are dwelling in the grand and awful time. Age on age is telling, to be living is sublime. You ever had an opportunity to think exactly what these words are saying? They're talking about this, the Day of Jehovah, and they're pointing out it's a grand and an awful time. Well, now here you've got a conundrum. You've got two opposites. Here we are, living in a time when it is grand and yet awful. And then winding up saying, to be living is sublime. Well, what is sublime anyway? Have you ever had any feeling of sublimity? A feeling of, I rejoice that I am alive and that I experience that which the Lord has given me. Ah, sublime. So we want to explore that because of the fact that the grand and awful time, and as it continues to progress, and now we've got the Muslims winding up being bombed. Ah, that what you would think that they would not do. But they did. And who knows what's next? We have no idea. Yes, it's an awful time. But again, grand? Sublime? Ah, how so? We know something the world knows not. And the beauty of it is, if you want to use that word, is that we tell it out. It goes in one ear and out the other. Few there be that accept our message. We have a message we have within us that vibrates us, that actuates us, that gives us something that propels us, if you will. That is sublime. That is grand. That is a time that we're living in, a day when the world, yes, the heavens and the earth must be shaken, this old heavens and old earth, and removed, and the new heavens and the new earth. We're in it. Ah, yes, let us rejoice and give thanks, for it is a time of sublimity because of the fact that we can see the tracings of our God. Yes, the stately steppings thereof. It's beautiful. But then we go a little further to a time when that new heavens, new earth are to be established. At a time when the kingdom is ushered in. Ah, we like to picture, we like as best we can to trace the scriptures that point to how this kingdom will be ushered in. What we want to bear in mind is that we may not even be here by the time it is fully ushered in. We trust we are with the Lord, if indeed we have given our all unto Him. We who know the Lord and love the Lord, and though perhaps not having given ourselves to the Lord, that nevertheless, having somewhat of His plan and His purposes and trying the best they can to live a righteous life, if you will, or at any degree whereby we have some idea of what God is doing and why these things are going on. Ah, it is that we want to project to a time when that kingdom has come. Because we want to look at one scripture. After Christ was resurrected. And that scripture is found in Matthew, the 28th chapter, and the 9th verse. When His disciples, He presents Himself to them, and before His ascension, we're just going to take the time to read the 9th verse from the... First verse to the 9th is a beautiful one. To read it, consider it, reflect upon it. But we're just going to the 9th verse. Matthew's 28 and 9. And as they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. Notice what they did. And they came and held Him, gave Him a hug, if you will, and also held Him by His feet and worshipped Him. He said, all hail. You look at that word, and you read it, what it means. And in the Greek, it goes further than just a greeting. It goes as far as to point out that it is an exclamation of rejoicing, of joy. He said, all hail. Rejoice. Be joyful. I am here. I'm raised from the dead. Ah, yes. All hail. We have a hymn, which we're going to sing at the end of the talk. All hail the power of Jesus' name. I'm going to interject in there, all be joyful and rejoice in the power of Jesus' name. The world today is a world that looks to someone who is either strong or who has what it takes to be leaders of men. And they are the ones they look to. But these are men that have that which the natural man gravitates to. But we're going to talk about Jesus and the power of His name and what He did and will do for the world of mankind. All hail! All rejoice! All be joyful! The power of Jesus' name and of His power. That's what we want to think about, reflect upon with what time we have left. As to why this is so. Power. What do we have in mind? What does it take? Ah, that's the thing we want to look at. The power of Jesus' name and the power behind it and what He is going to accomplish. This is that which we have somewhat knowledge thereof. And lo and behold, but for the power of Jesus' name, we would not be here. We would not be rejoicing. We would not be giving thanks because we know what that power does. And this is what we want to talk about, discuss, if you will. This is our lesson for this morning. Whether man knows it or not, or has any idea of the subject, there are some things he knows. Many will say, there's two sure things, death and taxes. Whether there be taxes or not, there's death. The living know they shall die, and the dead know not anything. Nothing whatsoever. Now, there's some question as to whether you die, you're dead, or whether you're not. Well, obviously, the scriptures are very plain and simple. The living know they shall die, and the dead know not anything. And so, therefore, as far as the living is concerned, when they lose their loved ones, they're gone. They no longer are with you. They are dead. Therefore, the world understands they must die. But few are be they who understand why. And it's that which we've come to by the Lord's grace to understand why we die. And again, for the world to understand that, hey, we were all born in one man, Adam. We were brought to the point where we are through that one man. And Eve, who God created as a helpmeet, if you will. We've been able to understand that. We've been able to understand the fact that dying, we become dead at some point in time. Therefore, there's a need for a Savior. There's a need for salvation. There's a need to be saved from death. And understanding God's the creator of all, and that Adam was given a trial and he disobeyed, and therefore he was death was pronounced upon him. But then to understand his plan and why he did this and what he has in mind, excuse me. That is what all mankind are going to have to come to at some point in time. That is of necessity. Therefore, they will have to come to a point where they realize and understand they need a Savior. I'm going to use a blackboard. It's not PowerPoint. It's kind of like snail mail, if you will. But I'd like to put it before your minds of what we have in the power of Jesus' name and the power that He has as far as the world of mankind is concerned and the benefits there too. The world needs a Savior. Someone who will save them from their sins. And our scriptures in 1 John, 4th chapter, 14th verse. Thank you. Let's turn to 1 John, the 4th chapter, and the 14th verse. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Again, 1 John 4, 14. That in and of itself points to man may live again because Christ is their Savior. Yes. But there is a need for an atoner. Someone to atone for their sins. And that's found in Romans, 5th chapter, 11th verse. Man's sin. Necessary that those sins be paid for. Well, the fact they died, pay for them, and the fact that they're dead. But the need of a Savior, the need of someone to atone for those sins. Enter Jesus, offering His life as the atoner. So let's turn to Romans, the 5th chapter, and the 11th verse. Romans 5 and 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Atoned for our sins. But that then means that man needed a Redeemer. A Redeemer. And that's 1 Peter, 1st chapter, 18th and 19th verses. This is something the world of mankind has to come to understand and know and realize. The power of Jesus' name is that He is their Savior, the one who atones for them and redeems them, that is to say, buy back. So let's read 1 Peter, the first chapter, the 18th and the 19th verses. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, or silver and of gold, from your vain conversation, actually your vain life, that was received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb without blemish and without spots. Redeemed, bought back by His life. He lived 30 years a perfect man, and then sacrifices in Jordan. And lo and behold, here we have 30 years sacrificed. Here it is that mankind may draw upon it. But we understand first the church, and after the church's glorification and the great company, that then the blood is no longer on loan, and it's for the world of mankind. And lo and behold, the power of Jesus' name who died for them. So that makes him their ransomer. First Timothy 2:6. A ransom. Someone who's to take the place of the sinner. Take the place of Adam and his posterity. Someone to ransom them. These are things which the world is going to understand at some point in time. Hail the power of Jesus' name. The power that has given us, they who would be of the church, the opportunity to be with Him, like Him, see Him as He is. But the world of mankind to be able to live again because of Jesus and what He did. Therefore, there was a need for a sin offering. First Corinthians, 5th chapter, 21st verse. A need for an offering for sin. It would be 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made himself an offering for sin. In other words, this man had something to offer. A perfect life. Laid aside, sacrificed. That's what he offered. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He was that sin offering, that offering for sin.
one by one by one, to note and to understand what it means, and to realize that the world of mankind is going to understand this. I think it's beautiful. I think it's overwhelming to a point where we cannot contain it. God Himself, the God of the universe, offering His only begotten Son on our behalf. You can't beat it. I don't know. I have a hard time containing it to understand and realize and truly, truly grasp it and hold on to it and rejoice in it.
All hail. Yes, the time is coming when all will hail the power of Jesus' name. For the church, He is their advocate.
By the Lord's grace, we have someone to please our cause. It is in 1 John 2, 1 and 2. We're all familiar with it. The propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins. We won't take time to read it.
But as we look at these things, and we can see and can understand that satisfied God and His justice. The propitiation, the satisfaction for mankind's sins. But here in this case, it is the church who He is the intercessor. That He has given us, that is those who are running for that prize, if you will. He has given us the opportunity to believe in Him as our Savior and the life rights that go with it, human life rights that go with it, and then the opportunity to lay that on the altar, which He presents to the Father. And then, day by day, as we try to follow in His footsteps and stumble along the way, He pleads our case, much as a lawyer. He is our intercessor. He intercedes for us. Beautiful. The first Adam sent man into death. He became the second Adam. The first Adam. Could God give them life because of his transgression? There was a need for a second Adam. We find this in 1 Corinthians 15:45. 2nd Adam. First Corinthians 15:45. Well, we all recognize the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the resurrection chapter. The resurrection of the church. And indeed, while it is bringing these things forth, He's pointing out the fact that is the Apostle Paul. Christ is the second Adam. Jesus Christ our Lord. There had to be a second Adam if man was to live again. The world will understand this when the time so comes. And they will hail His power. They will hail His name. There's something about those words that does something to me. All hail. I like that. Because it has more than just a greeting. We go to Isaiah, the 9th chapter. The 6th and 7th verses. We have before us Christ Jesus as Jesus our Lord, but His earthly ministry, and as the Savior and the Atoner, the Redeemer, the Ransomer, the sin offering, the Advocate for the Church, the second Adam. You look at all of those, and now where you note that all the way down through until we get to the second Adam, it was as the man Jesus, who became Jesus Christ when He was anointed, that this was of necessity and had to be done. And again, the world will know that when the time so comes and understand it and rejoice in it. And in fact, in Philippians 2, where we have those beautiful, beautiful words, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father. Oh, yes. Every knee bow and every tongue confess. Can you picture some who are hard to get along with? Can be very mean and be someone who it's almost impossible to get next to them. People who kill one another and who destroy this whole bit. And that time coming when their knee shall bow and their tongue confess to the glory of God. And have you ever had an opportunity to think about that? Ha ha. Ah, yes. That's a beautiful time of coming. But in Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, we all very well familiar with those two verses. We pretty much trot them out at Christmas time, usually, but I think it is good at any time of the year because it's pointing to that which is coming, a government, a kingdom under Christ. Yes, Jesus Christ our Lord. Ah, man's brought back from the dead, man must needs have a governing body, an administration, someone who administers over mankind. And lo and behold, we have the answer, and we find it in Isaiah, the 9th chapter, 6 and 7. We're going to take a moment to read it. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. It's a scripture that goes around and around in our minds, and surely the realization of what it truly means
9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Ah, yes. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We have those names there. And lo and behold, to be able to think, what truly does that mean? You go through them one by one. I'm not sure whether I should take the time to put those on the board, but in a way I would like to. Let's reflect and let's consider. Let's think about what we have here. He's going to be a wonderful counselor. Counselor. Counsel. What man's going to need is counsel. He's going to have those who gives instructions. And the very fountain of that is Jesus, our Lord. Wonderful? what's brought forth from Him and His church? That's it. That's it. Also, Mighty God. Almighty God, accept it. Next is Christ Jesus. Mighty God. No one above that but His Father. That's it. Think of it. The Everlasting Father. Again, where did man get life? He got it from God. He's the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. He's all these things. That's not all. The world will come to a point to understand this is Jesus. This is our life. That's what we've come to point to understand. He's our mediator, or will be for the world of mankind. The world and the mediator is simply a matter of your go-between between the one party and the other, and try to bring them together to reach an amicable, satisfactory answer to whatever the problem or contract or whatever it is. But here we got a mediator who is taking that which God would have and bring it forth to man and see that he does it. That's his mediation. Ah, yes, in the law and Israel, Moses was a mediator, but here is a better mediator.
That one's in 1 Timothy 2:5, as we all know.
Skipping over the traces. He is a messenger of the covenant. It's found in Malachi 3:1. The covenant stemming from an Abrahamic covenant, that is the new covenant.
Then he's a prophet. He's a priest. He's a king. He's Christ the Anointed. He's a Messiah. Again, in the old Hebrew, anointed. And he's a judge. And we could go on and on. All of these things, the power of Jesus' name. All, yes.
All hail. Rejoice. Be joyful. Understand what Christ has done for all. Jesus, our Lord.
We thank the Lord that day by day we can be able to appreciate just a little more of all that has been done for us through Jesus Christ our Lord. All hail the power of Jesus' name. We rejoice. We thank the Lord. Anything said amiss, we ask that He might overrule. And we give our thanks continually to be able to discuss these things most precious to our hearts.